Well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy to have you along. This is Local Matters for a Friday. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. Pastor Ron, good to see you, sir.
Hey, Dwight. Good Friday afternoon to you, man.
Good one to you, too. I really look forward to these and ready to get going today.
I am, too. I tell you, we have such a good time when we leave here. We're hiring a kite, aren't we? On the Spirit of the Lord, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've been, for several weeks now, addressing the overall topic. It's called Unpacking Truth. Well, we're just taking Scripture, maybe. Some of our audience is a little familiar with this, maybe not familiar at all, but we're just taking it to see what we can get out of it as the Holy Spirit reveals, just a word by word, almost sometimes line by line, and just digging into it and just seeing how we can apply this Word of God very practically on a day-to-day basis. And one thing, Pastor Ron, that I'm learning as you study the Word of God, there's always more.
Yes.
There's always more.
It's absolutely amazing to me, Dwight, how, you know, we started on the 23rd Psalm and then we went to the Beatitudes, and we thought, well, with both of those, we'd be a lot shorter than we were. But once you get in it and you start opening up the Scriptures word by word and looking at these words and see what they mean, man, there is so much more. There's more light for your life. There's more revelation. There's more direction. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing when you really get into this. And, you know, one of the things that of course, with the internet and phone apps and things, you can have all these Bible apps that open up and man, you can study the Greek and you can study different translations and the way different languages bring forth the word. I mean, it is so refreshing, and man, we've really been enjoying unpacking some truth, man.
Yeah, and we're going to do it some more today also, but we're going to turn today, Pastor Ron, over to the book of Philippians, and the New Testament book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi there, and we're going to start unpacking at chapter 4 and actually verse 4, and to set the context of this whole thing, Paul is talking to the church at Philippi about the Christian experience. Just this whole experience of being reborn, this whole experience of having Christ in your heart, becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus. He's talking about that. But he's not talking about that experience in terms of what's going on around them. He's talking about what's going on primarily inside them.
Yes.
What happened to them when they received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who they became, what they had, what they could do. All those things, Paul is trying to get that inside them. And so that's part of where we're going today.
And Dwight, you know, one interesting fact here, he was in prison when he wrote this letter. So really he had to be thinking from an internal perspective.
Oh, that's,
you know, because,
good.
I mean, he's in bars, but let's get in this and get going here.
And you know, boy, I've got to park there just a second, because you just touched on. He's sitting in prison, and you know, most of us, when we hit a bump in the road or we get off, you know, something happens, bad circumstance, we have a tendency sometimes to poor, pitiful me. Mm. Paul did some of his best work while he's behind bars. He wrote those letters to the churches. I mean, he didn't deserve to be there. Mm-mm. Whipped and beat up, left for dead more than once, sitting there in prison, but God used him there. You know, God can use you if you will let him anywhere you are.
Yes. Amen.
Now let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And well, let's start there where it says, and it just, it picks up here, and it's just kind of a way to live our life and a way to let men show what's inside of us. Remember, remember we talked about Paul saying here, the Christian experience in terms of what is inside of us. And he starts there in verse 4, Pastor Ron, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He says it twice. He says always. So evidently he's trying to make a point there. And part of, I'd love to get your comments and thoughts on this, Pastor Ron. You know, it says rejoice in the Lord always. My best days are the days that when I wake up early, either I pick up the Word and read something, or I just, it's about how we think. That's how we approach the day. Mm-hmm. It's not how we are, it's how we think.
Yes.
But if I'll just take some time and rejoice in the Lord and say, thank you for another day, Father. You're with me today, Father. You know what's going to happen today, Father. You're an all-knowing God. You know, and you said you'd never leave me, forsake me. You know what's ahead. You know what's behind. I give this day to you. I get my mind and my mouth set on God. I'm rejoicing in Him. That's the best way I find to start my day.
Amen. And you know what's so amazing here? He is in prison, you know, when he writes this, and it's like he's saying, rejoice in the Lord. Here's a man stuck in prison, and you know, we have to watch that just something little happens in our life when we get so frustrated, down, or depressed, or whatever. But think about him being in prison. He had to be taking the limits off of God from a heart level. I mean, he was not even though he was bound, he was not allowing his thought life, his spiritual life, to be bound by what was coming at him externally.
That's good.
He was releasing joy, and I'm convinced that joy ultimately got him released. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that that's what happens when we will rejoice. He's not. He wasn't rejoicing because he was in prison. He was rejoicing in the Lord.
Yeah.
He was rejoicing for what God was doing inside of him, giving him this marvelous letter to the church at Philippi. I mean, and we want to be people that are people of joy, Dwight. I know one time you got something started at church with one of our ladies there, Denise Rogers, and man, every time you turn around, everybody was saying, rejoice, 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 rejoice. You know, such a marvelous thing, because really, if you think about it, Dwight, even in the most trying, worst circumstances, even in the face of death, we can be people of joy. And that's what he's saying here, to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice enough that he repeated this twice in this one sentence. He's trying to say something to us to not let the circumstances of life get us down.
Wow, that is good. And it just, and basically, Paul said in other places that he didn't say, I'm thankful for all things. He said, I'm thankful in all things.
Yes.
I've learned whatsoever state I'm in, therefore to be content.
Mm-hmm.
You can trust God and don't be a puppet to your circumstances. Maybe not all your circumstances are good, but rejoice in the Lord, focus on him and trust him. That's the way these whole verses start, and nothing else works if we don't rejoice in the Lord.
Exactly.
That's like algebra. You know, you got to get the first part of it right to get the right,
that's,
you know,
right.
And so he says you start by thinking about the Lord, by rejoicing in him. And we're so glad you're with us this afternoon. This is Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. We're unpacking truth. We're in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 4. So after he says, Pastor Ron, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice, then he says this, and he says, now, you've got the Lord on your mind, you're focusing on who he is. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I'm reading from the King James. He said, the implied subject there is you. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Now, the first word I see, that number one, you. Nothing is dynamic until it's specific. And unless we apply that to my heart, you.
Mm-hmm.
You let your moderation be known unto all men. Until you can just have this as knowledge, academic information, but till, as we said so many times, it gets in your heart,
mm-hmm.
it really doesn't make any difference. But I see this word moderation, and as I've studied that word a little bit, I see two things, two words there that leap out at me as it relates to a defining moderation. And one of them, as I study the word, is gentleness, and the other one is patience.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about moderation a little bit, if you would, from your perspective.
Well, you know, Dwight, if we are gentle people, whether that's a gentle man or a gentle woman, and that is that word moderation there is a good definition of that, is gentleness, as well as we can't leave off restraint. I think moderation, we would see it more as restraint, but if we are gentle people, a gentle man and a gentle woman, you know, we will be people that are restrained by the love of Christ. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, down 16 or 17, he says, the love of Christ constrains me.
Yeah.
And when we are rejoicing in the Lord and we're letting our gentleness, our moderation, restraint be made known unto all men. And I think one translation here, the Passion Translation, which I love, it says, let your gentleness let me find it, because it's so good the way he said this. Let your gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is ever near.
Wow.
And when you think about from a relational standpoint, he's talking about let your moderation, let the people that are around you, let them see this love of Christ. And, you know, I don't think he was in prison by himself here. If I'm not mistaken, he and Silas were in prison together. But he's saying, let the people that you're around experience this, the supply of the Spirit that you have in your life.
Mm.
Let people experience that coming through you. I mean, and if he's in the middle of prison and he can do that, we obviously can do that when we're driving down the road and want to get mad at somebody for road rage. Obviously, we can control ourselves enough to let that gentleness flow from our lives.
And I think that's a great point. He said, Paul is saying here to the church of Philippi and to us today, he's saying this is what people need to see in you,
mm-hmm.
people around you, people that you're around. Even though that some of them may know that, that there's some difficult circumstance I'm needing of, don't get stuck on that problem. Let them see your gentleness. And as I've studied that word gentleness, in particularly as it relates to Galatians 5:22-23,
yes.
fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness. These are forces or powers, Pastor Ron, as I understand it, that we all have when Christ comes into our heart.
Mm-hmm.
They are graces that he have. They're characteristics of Jesus Christ. And when he's coming into our heart as Lord and Savior, we have that,
yes.
whether we know it or not or ever use them
and
or not.
And, you know, Dwight, the thing that I would ask people to be cautious about, if you find that you just cannot experience this, like you can't release joy or rejoicing, or you find that you can't release gentleness. There's either one or two things happening here. You're either revolting against growing up and maturing, or maybe that spirit, the Spirit of God's not in you to start with.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you've never been accepted Christ. And if you haven't accepted Christ, it's really so simple. The scripture says to believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead and confess the Lordship of Jesus over your own life. And that means you're saying, Jesus, you're my Lord. Then if we take that and we say, okay, I'm believing with my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead, and I'm confessing him as my Lord, then the Spirit of the living God comes and lives on the inside of you, and he brings these characteristics with him.
Yes.
He brings gentleness. He brings patience. He brings meekness. He brings temperance. It's not something we've got to get. It's something that we have to learn. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Learn of me.
Yeah.
It's something that we learn. Then we learn how to put it into practice. We learn, wait, the last time I shot my mouth off at this guy at work, it didn't work too good
for me.
It didn't work too good. Uh-huh. So I want to learn how to repent here and let gentleness begin. Let the fruit of patience begin to work in my life.
When we come back, I want to spend just a little bit more time on this word moderation in terms of gentleness and patience. Can't wait to do it.
Amen.
Hang on. Don't go away. Back with more in a moment right here on Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
We're back on Local Matters. Happy to have you with us. Dwight Henry, your host, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. We're unpacking truth. We're looking at some verses in Philippians where Paul is talking about the Christian experience to that church, not what's happening around them, but what has happened on the inside of them when they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We're in chapter 4, verse 5, and we're looking at this where, and Paul says, here's what men need to see. As born-again believers, men need to see your moderation. Let your moderation be known in all men, because the Lord's at hand. You can look at that, the Lord's at hand, phrased in a couple of ways. God's near with you. God's mm-hmm. near. He's not anywhere. He's got you right here. You're with him. But that word moderation, Pastor Ron, as we were talking about before the break, one of the things that I saw that meant when I was studying that word is gentleness. And here's a way that I heard this taught one time, and I really liked it. It really helped me to see how this power, this force of gentleness works in the heart and the spirit, if you will, of the born again person. We all understand or know. I don't claim to be an expert on horses, but when we hear the term gentle horse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that means a horse that can, maybe a child could get on it that doesn't know a lot about horses, maybe could pull its mane or tap it on the side a little bit, kick it in the side. That horse is a gentle, if that horse is a gentle horse, it just keeps right on going.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, that horse is not easily disturbed.
Wow.
Now, that force of gentleness, that in my life is what I'm learning, and that is a force and a power, supernatural,
mm-hmm.
that we have, you know, we're earthly vessels with heavenly treasures.
Yes.
That gentleness is one of those treasures. So that inside of us, when something comes on that would disturb us, it would get us anxious, it would get us worried, it would cause us to fly off the handle in the natural, what we have to do is just catch our breath a little bit and say, Father, thank you. You've given me the spirit of gentleness. I have the force of gentleness in me, and that's what men are supposed to see. And thank you that because I have the force of gentleness, I'm not easily disturbed.
And Dwight, you know, if the Lord is near, which is that next phrase there, we can afford to be gentle.
Yeah.
You know, we can afford to exercise patience if the Lord is at hand. If the Lord, and you could read that a couple of ways where the Lord's coming is at hand or the Lord is present with us. I think either one of them would be correct. But if you looked at it that the Lord is present with us, the reason that we can afford to let our moderation, our gentleness, our patience be known is that we don't have to force anything because He's with us. He's going to take care of us. We don't have to try to snap back at someone or get even or you know, do something that's harsh with someone because the Lord is near. We can afford to say, okay, if the Lord is near and He's for me and He's not against me, then He's going to take care of this situation. I don't have to put my two cents worth in. At times, I can just be quiet, or I can just pull back, or I don't have to get right into the middle of this argument. I don't have to get right into the middle of this relational problem with someone. I can pull back and say, okay, Lord, I'll just put this in your hands. I just give this to you. And when you know the Lord is with you and the Lord is for you, you don't have to be right all the time. You know, you don't have to push issues. You can rejoice in the Lord. You can let your moderation, your patience, your gentleness be known unto all men.
You know, and when I first started seeing that verse years ago, Pastor, when I saw that, the Lord's at hand, you better watch out now. You get out of line a little bit, He's going to hit you over here with His supernatural baseball bat. I mean, He's watching every move you make, just waiting for you to get out. But that's not what that's saying at all. He's saying, hey, let your gentleness, don't get easily disturbed. The Lord's with you.
Yeah,
He's at hand.
Exactly.
You're drawing from what He's put in you.
Exactly.
You're drawing from those supernatural forces that's already inside you. He's with you. He's at hand. And that's what it means. He's for you, not against you.
It's just a very simple faith act, really.
Yeah.
You know, people talk about, well, moving mountains, or sometimes a mountain we need moves on the inside of us. You know what I'm saying? And that's what, we'll go back to how we opened here with today. This is Paul dealing with internal issues in the believer's life. It's not trying to get us to do something external so that God won't be mad at us.
Yeah.
The Lord is near. The Lord is here. The Lord is present. So I love that, because I've heard that the same way. You know, you better watch it now.
Yeah.
You know,
Lord's watching you.
Your Lord's watching you. You better watch your moderation there. But that's really a negative connotation of that, when really what he's saying is, because the Lord is near, He will strengthen you, enable you, grace you to be able to let your moderation be known, to be able to not have to be right, to not get in the middle of argument.
To not be easily disturbed.
Not easily disturbed. I love that. That is such a good way of saying that, to not be easily disturbed. And, you know, Dwight, we really want to grow up in these areas as Christians because, man, the way our culture's running, anything can get you disturbed if you're not careful,
right.
You know? And I mean, I have to watch these things because, man, I get so passionate about some things. You know, you have to watch about not becoming easily disturbed and let your moderation be known unto all men.
And, you know, and as we study that word, it says, let your moderation, let men see this. We talked about gentleness not being easily disturbed. Another word that's used in the definition as I study this word is the word patience. And again, we see that this is a force, a power, a characteristic of Christ, a grace that we have that comes into our heart when Jesus comes into our life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is closely akin to patience. And the Bible talks a lot about patience, Pastor Ron. In fact, He said, through faith and patience, you inherit the promises.
Yes.
You have need of patience. And as I study the Bible, as I study Bible patience, it's light years from our definition in our culture. Talk about patience a little bit.
Of course, our definition a lot of times of patience is putting up with. Really, that's a term for long suffering in the fruit of the Spirit. But patience is of the feminine gender. You know, James says, let patience have her perfect work. Now, most of the men are going to love this or listen to this, but really, if we would just recognize that in the feminine gender, men can learn a lot from women, because women have a nature about them that's often very good in regard to being reserved, moderate, modest. You know, and we can learn a lot in that regard to let how patience would work in a situation. You know, in a situation, go back here to what Paul's talking about, of letting our moderation be known. You know, patience is a gentle resting force that works in conjunction with the Word of God. See, faith and patience work together. Faith is the masculine gender. Patience is the feminine gender. If the masculine and the feminine come together, you're going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You know,
wow,
and so,
I love that.
So,
I love that.
So if we will let patience have a perfect work, all of this, if we'll let patience in this scripture work, all this stuff we desire in life will come about.
Hey, we're glad you're with us this Friday afternoon. This is Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen, unpacking truth from God's Word from the fourth chapter of Philippians. We're in chapter 4 now in verse 5. We're dealing with the word moderation, and we talked about the fact that one of the things that means is gentleness, and you have the force of gentleness if you're a believer. You can not be easily disturbed. And now it also can mean patience. And Pastor Ron, I heard patience taught this way one time years ago, and it stayed with me. It's that, you know, I heard somebody say, patience is a force, it's a power, it's a grace, it's not just a warm, fuzzy feeling, it's something that comes into our hearts, and it does its best work, and this really helped me, it does its best work when we're between the amen and the there it is.
Yes.
In other words, we're believing God for something, we're praying, and we say amen, but we don't see it yet. You know, we don't, it may be 2 weeks before we see it, or 2 months, or 2 years longer, but oftentimes when we believe in God for something, circumstances are adverse to us, we tend to get our eyes sometimes back on the problem. It's like a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. We're believing God, we take it back. Believing God, take it back. Up and down. Our thoughts go up and down. Our words go up and down. But patience comes along. When we know we have patience, that patience between the time you say amen, asking for God to meet a need, and there it is, and you see it met, patience is that force that keeps you level, that keeps you steady, that keeps you constant. The Bible says then, double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So it's that level, that steadiness that even though you physically can't kick the tires on, eat, pay the bills with, whatever it is you're going to do when that needs met, you're level and you're steady because of patience.
And you know, Dwight, that patience is working while the image is being built.
Yeah.
And you know, people say, well, jump out. You know, you got to use blind faith. No, there's really no such thing as blind faith, because patience is working while the image is being built. The image is the blueprint of the faith. The faith is the building built. The faith is the material. The faith is the lumber. The faith is the steel. But the blueprint,
the substance,
yeah. The faith is the substance, but the blueprint of that substance is hope. And patience is working while hope is formulating the blueprint of what faith is wanting to bring about. I hope that's not too complicated. But when your moderation is known, Dwight, when he's saying that, he's saying a mouthful here in regard to the fruit that we desire to be born, whether that's prosperity, whether that's healing, whether that's good relationships, whether that's ministry birth, whether that's a business being birthed, the college degree being worked on, whatever that is, this force of this gentleness and patience, this moderation working in our lives, the reason the Apostle Paul wrote this is so that we would be fruit bearers. Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified in John 15, that you bear much fruit.
Yeah.
So, but see, if we lose that, and, you know, we have to really, I mean, you can't, in our culture, just look a little ways and it's gone. But he's talking about in our own hearts. We can't base this on what everybody else does. This has to be based on what our hearts are doing and we are producing and living out of our heart in the middle of trying circumstances.
You know, and the thing, it's what he's saying here, again, we get back to the overall point that the Apostle Paul's making about the Christian experience, not what's going on around them, but what's going on inside them. And when he says to the church there, and to Dwight and Pastor Ron today, and everybody listening who are born-again believers, let your moderation be shown unto men. When he asks us to do something, he's already equipped us to do it.
Yes.
We have the forces and the powers and all that we need to do
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
We just pull on what he's already put in us. We've got to know what's in there and know what it looked like when it's being used. And he said, and then let people see that. Mm-hmm. And when people see that, you know, when I look at somebody and I know something about a situation they're dealing with or a person they're dealing with, and I see this steadiness, I see this not being easily disturbed, I really see this love, I'm going, Man,
oh, man,
that is something special,
yes,
because I know what they're dealing with, and yet they're responding out of what's on the inside, and that's powerful.
Man.
Ooh, it's gotten by.
Wow.
It's gotten by. We're going to pick it up right there next week. Is that okay?
Sounds good to me, Dwight.
So happy to have you with us today. Join us next week, same time, for Local Matters.